We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I called you fat. Look at me, I'm skinny. It never stopped me from getting busy. I'm a freak. I like the girls with the boom. I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom. I'm crazy. Allow me to amaze thee. They say I'm ugly, but it just don't faze me. I'm still getting in the girls' pants, and I even got my own dance.
The Humpty Dance is your chance to do the Hump.
Come on.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
The hump day action.
Yeah.
You getting over the hump today?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. 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 Man, I like when you play this song. Crank it, dude. Come on. This song can make you think of going to see the Comets when you were a young man, a young lady, a youngster at Kemper Arena. Or this song can make you think about a movie featuring a college student by the name of Billy, who was thrown into a Turkish prison for trying to smuggle hashish strapped to his chest.
So that's what that airplane joke references to?
Airplane joke, what?
The movie Airplane?
Kid Billy.
You ever been in a Turkish prison, Billy?
I didn't know that joke was referenced in a movie.
When did Airplane come out?
I think that was Airplane 2.
That was Airplane 1. That was the OG. Yeah, that's the only one I've seen. And
Ever watch movies about gladiators, Billy? Ever been in a Turkish prison?
You remember in Cable Guy when... Oh, Crank, don't stop playing this. Oh, Billy. Now, that joke's from Midnight Express. And again, once again, as I see this movie came out in 1978, yes, I was there in the movie theater with Steve St. John Sr. and my mother. Steve, I don't think he should watch things like this. I'm not paying for a babysitter. He'll figure it out. Buy him nachos. He likes peppers. Dad, what's this scene mean? Shut up.
Just pay attention.
So it happens in prison. Don't go to prison. I'm teaching them a lesson, babe. Huh? Huh, you little bastard? You gonna smuggle hashish now?
No, why? I never was. When you go to another country, right, follow the laws.
Oh, Billy.
See, I
what a lead in. Man. What a lead in I just put together.
But see, I was a little more innocent. Yeah.
It was this song or it was Indoor Soccer, Turkish Prison. I don't know which one this is.
Either way, it's intense.
I want to know who the guy was that said, you know what? When heard that, you know what? Yes. Yes, this song is the theme to a movie about a Turkish prison, but it also could be about indoor soccer.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Zoran Savic, assistant coach at Sporting Kansas City. He played for the Kansas City Comets back in the day and also had once served in the Yugoslavian military.
Play it again.
You know, and so maybe he has an idea about 1980s Eastern European, you know, the legal system.
Thank you.
Not to ask Zoran about that, what his thoughts were when he would hear this song. Because I've never seen Midnight Express. But I went to many Comets games as a kid.
I'm going to make you watch it. Watch that on a plane and see some of the looks you'll get. There's a couple of scenes that'll get you.
Yeah. Well, you've described some of them in vivid detail to me.
Our friends at Tickets for Less are giving away some 4-packs of tickets to this Sunday's Comets game versus Harrisburg. The Harrisburg Heat at Cable Dahmer Arena. The game starts at 4:05. Right now, I'll give away 2 of those 4-packs to callers 8 and 10 at 913-3810-810. 913-3810-810. If you're caller 8 or 10, you will get a 4-pack of tickets courtesy of our friends at Tickets for Less and Sports Radio 810 WHB to go see the Comets against the Harrisburg Heat Sunday, Cable Dahmer Arena. Call now. There. How's that sound to you?
Oh, man. The Comets. What a great time. Action-packed.
That'd be fun for the family on Sunday.
Heck yeah.
You know? Take them kids over to Twin Peaks in the Comets game. Well, that's for a doubleheader.
In more ways than one. You really know how to sell a big event like this,
hell
man.
Yes.
I'm
a hype man, dude.
You're a regular P.T. Barnum.
I've never talked to somebody that went to a Comets game and said, oh, I had a bad time.
Mm-mm.
Oh, it was too exciting. Oh, it was too much fun.
Right.
When I talk to someone, I want to go again. Maybe you've never gone. Maybe now's your chance to win tickets to go.
Man, this is giving me flashbacks to my childhood in the old Kemper Arena, watching Gino Schiraldi and Elson Seal.
Yomar Zorhan was my favorite player.
Enzo DePayday.
My timeline is filled also with video of one of Nate's favorite rappers. Tekashi 69 getting jumped and beaten up at a health club. So
I don't know who Tekashi 69 is.
Exactly who it is.
I have to ask my son. He probably is.
I hope he doesn't know who that is.
He listens to a lot of stuff with very questionable lyrics. Very questionable lyrics.
He was at the WBC. And he got booed and people were throwing stuff at him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Where is he from?
6'9".
Got a lot of face tats, huh? Are those real?
Yeah. Sure they are. He was jumped at LA Fitness while working out and got the hell beat out of him. He's also what you would call a snitch.
Oh, is that what happened? Is that why he got jumped?
Well, probably. It didn't help his case.
Snitched on. He's getting stitches now, huh?
Yeah.
Man.
Well, he was facing a lot of jail time, and then he wasn't. And all of a sudden, hey, I'm out. Look at this. How did he get out? Well, my dad has no idea who he is and would have no reference to his music or anything else. But somehow my dad calls me one day. You know the 69 rapper? I'm like, what? He's a snitch. I go, okay, well, all right then.
Oh, I think I know.
Call you back.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah,
you know exactly who he is. But that's all my timeline. I kept trying to, like, I'm trying to find things out about, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, the WBC, news and free agency, the transfer portal, and all that keeps popping up on my Twitter timeline is the rapper 69 getting the hell beat out of him in the bathroom at a fitness club, which I'm not complaining, but it's enough's enough. Right. Do you know who that is? You listen to that, his music?
I'm jumping in late. What's up?
I watched a documentary about him because it is insanity. Let me tell you that.
You guys talking about Lynn's sanity?
No.
Oh, what you talking about?
So anyway, yeah. Are you getting those videos now?
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah.
Right. Well, I didn't say it was pretty. Who's
not
our winner?
Not be able to recognize all those face tats.
Who's our winners?
We have winner Brian and winner Marty. So Brian and Marty are going to be going to the comments on Sunday.
That's good.
What did I miss? I've heard Nate make a Twin Peaks joke and then...
No, we're just talking about this rapper, that all the videos of him getting beat up at a...
Oh, 6ix9ine?
Yeah.
Yes, Marco, 6ix9ine.
Yes. Yeah.
He got beat up good.
Right. And no one feels bad about it, apparently.
No, no one should.
Maybe he's just misunderstood.
No, he's understood quite well.
Oh, man. You know, what they say, don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
Right.
Was there further development from
the
video?
No, it's just new videos and angles.
So that's because he was a snitch.
I don't know why
it
was.
I'm
just telling you, he was a snitch. That's how he got out. And then people catch him on the streets. Them streets are unforgiving, Nate. Let me tell you.
Well, that's true. Certainly true. I don't know what to tell you, man. The streets are unforgiving.
I have this to tell you.
Yeah?
Would you like to hear Team USA manager Mark DeRosa?
Yes.
Talking about last night's game coming down to Trout versus Ohtani. Let's hear what Mark DeRosa had to say.
I was just thinking about all the people around the world watching the game. Like, this is, it never usually plays out like that. And I was just saying, I just wanted the leadoff hitter on. We couldn't ask. Jeff works that nasty walk, and then we have two of the best players in the game back-to-back going against Ohtani with Goldie behind him. I felt confident. I really did. So, but I was well aware. I was like, wow, the baseball world's going to win tonight regardless.
Well, the U.S. didn't win, I can tell you that. Because Ohtani made Mike Trout look like a fool that strikeout. But that's just how good Ohtani is.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some people saying, last out, Trout. I think that's kind of harsh.
You got to wear it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, if you're gonna get struck out by somebody in a championship game, it might as well be like the biggest unicorn in the history of baseball. Which is what Ohtani is.
Yeah, but man, you know, Trout, he's the best player of his generation. The expectation is you can't strike out looking like that.
Yeah, but those pitches.
I know, but it was like Mike Trout.
I'll tell you what, though. I thought those two fastballs were right down the middle. And he can hit a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. The good hitters in Major League Baseball can hit a 100-mile-per-hour fastball that's right down the middle. He couldn't catch up to him. He threw him right by him. As you mentioned earlier, in the words of the boss,
threw that speed ball by him.
Made him look like a fool, boy.
But I'll tell you what. I mean, Ohtani in that game hit a 114-mile-per-hour ground ball that Trey Turner made an unbelievable diving stop on, throw to first, and beat the throw out. So he can hit it as hard as anybody. He can run as fast as anybody. He can throw the ball as hard as anybody. It's just, it's unbelievable.
There he is at the WBC game getting stuff thrown at him. It's pretty good. He had to wave the flag.
Oh, was he waving a L3?
Yeah, look.
People don't like him, huh?
No. Nobody likes him.
Is that right? Well, somebody must like him if he's got all this popular music. Does he have popular music? Does anybody listen to him?
I did. No. He had a song with Nicki Minaj that blew up for a bit.
He's got 69 tattooed on his face.
Yeah. Here,
I feel like that limits you in some of your job prospects down the road.
Right.
Like you go in to interview for certain jobs, they might be.
I don't think he's too concerned about down the road.
I don't think he doesn't seem like he is.
Yeah. But
until apparently he was facing jail time.
It's kind of hard to go incognito also, like if you don't want to be
recognized.
Yeah,
no, that
like,
wasn't me.
Hey, I'm just going to LA Fitness to work out.
Hey, are you that rapper 6ix9ine? What gives that away?
Hey, are you that snitch? Come here.
Tattooed on your face, you dope.
Here, Mark DeRosa called Ohtani a unicorn to the sport of baseball.
You know what blows me away on the stage, Tyler, is the fact that he seems to, like, no moment's too big for him. I mean, he did not seem like rattled by walking Jeff McNeil on a close pitch down. Not rattled that, like you said, three MVPs were coming up to bat. Like you said, I've analyzed him for years since he's come over here. What he's doing in the game is what probably 90% of the guys in that clubhouse did in Little League or in youth tournaments, and he's able to pull it off on the biggest stages. He is a unicorn to the sport. I don't, you know, I think other guys will try it, but I don't think they're going to do it to his level.
Whether or not you enjoyed watching the WBC, whether or not you care about the WBC, either you look at it as a great showcase for the sport of baseball or just an inconvenience that's in the way of you enjoying the rest of spring training and the regular season because you care about your team. I think anyone can agree that that was truly a special moment with the entire WBC championship on the line and Ohtani is on the mound against Mike Trout, arguably the two best players right now in the world, and certainly, if you're talking about Trout, the best player of the last 10 years or so, and a surefire Hall of Famer, and one of the best hitters we've ever seen, just gets blown away by Ohtani. Blown away. And so for all the people that have been, oh, man, I wish I could see Mike Trout in a big game. Man, I wish I could see him in an important, dramatic at-bat. A nail-biter with everything on the line. Well, you saw it. And it wasn't because he sucks. It's because Ohtani is the best player in all of baseball, any country, any league, anywhere. Period. They named the all-WBC team, and he's the starting pitcher, and he's the DH. And, yeah, he's normally a starting pitcher. That, oh, by the way, hey, come on. Can you close for us? Can you do that? Lee gives a leadoff walk and then gets Mookie Betts to ground into a double play and then strikes out Mike Trout and makes him look like a double A player. Overmatched. Incredible moment last night.
Awesome. I mean,
for the best there is.
Who was it that said it was one of the biggest at bats in baseball history?
I believe that was Rob Manning in sales.
Rob Manning is prescient.
Right.
As always.
Thank you,
eloquent.
My friend.
Mm-hmm. It is crazy to think that's not, you know, that's not hyperbole. That was one of the greatest or biggest plate appearances in baseball history. And again, from a global standpoint, most likely the baseball game that was watched by more people than any baseball game in world history. That's crazy, too, to think about.
Highest exit velocity, the WBC, Shohei Ohtani, 118.7 miles per hour in a double hit against the Czech Republic. Fastest pitch, Shohei Ohtani, 102 miles per hour against Italy. Longest home run, Shohei Ohtani, 448 feet versus Australia. So I just, what the hell you, I mean, what do you want? By the way, the all-world baseball classic catcher was Salvador Perez, Salvi. So he lights it up again on the biggest stage. Be nice to see him in a on a big stage again for the Royals.
Oh, man. It was awesome watching him. Yeah, I don't know if you know, Stephen. I went to the game where USA played Venezuela.
Somebody had mentioned that.
I got to see him get that big hit, and it just it brought back all kinds of feels. You know, like Salvi, big hit. Everybody's going crazy.
John Rothstein is reporting that George Mason's Kim English is finalizing a contract to be the next head coach of Providence.
Text him right now.
Official.
You have his number.
Screw that. Let's call him.
I'm not going to do that. Talk while I'm texting you. You told me to text you. I'm not talking about something.
Well, so I went to this World Baseball Classic.
Why do you want me to text him?
Well, I don't know. Just because of...
Ask him to come on the show? Or
just to flex, you know, just to flex that you're, you know, your boy's with him. You know? That you're the kind of guy that he would... He probably has he responded, or is he going to wait till the ink is dried on the contract?
Wait until it's done. He can't accept congratulations on something that's officially happened.
But it looks like he didn't jinx it, which is good.
Yeah, he lived through this Matt Painter thing. He knows it ain't done until it's done.
Yeah, we've seen coaches land at the school and get back on the plane and go, "Nope, sorry, I'm out of here."
My daughter was like, "Why are you rooting so hard against Purdue?" I said, "Let me tell you a little story." There was a guy named Mike Alden with a suitcase full of money.
Suitcase Mike.
No, that's Mike Anderson. When he
left. Yeah, that's right.
We'll get him. Don't get him twisted.
He patronized everybody in Columbia. Don't you be nice to him.
But keep talking. Okay, you told me to text him.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
Well, I want you to talk out loud while you're texting so we know what you're saying to him.
I would love to have you on the show. Whenever it's convenient for you. There. You're done.
And now, what do you think Kimmy's going to say back to you? New phone, who dis?
I'll say, when is Nate not there? So I'll be sure to book my time then.
You know, do you think Kimmy feels that way about me? Like that?
I don't know. I can't.
You remember that he gave me an... no, he didn't. Who gave me the autographed picture of Jimmy Carter? Was it Petro? And then he said that if there was one person he could meet, it was Jimmy Carter. Back when we interviewed him a long time ago. And so I sent him a picture of me holding the picture of Jimmy Carter that Seren gave me for some bizarre reason. And he said that the picture was dope, but my outfit was not so dope.
Right.
He didn't like the way I was dressed, Kimmy. It's more stylish than me.
All right, we are... Now I've got people sending me videos of 6ix9ine. I don't want them.
You've already seen them all.
Thank you. Or others.
Oh, okay. What's he doing in these other videos?
I don't want to. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
Back after this with Andy Rogers on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Busted.
Zealous, play hard to get, females get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to a party. Girls are scantily clad, are showing body. A chick walks by, you wish you could sex her, but you're standing on the wall like you was Poindexter. Next day's function.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez. On this Wednesday hump day, March 22nd, thank you to the guests we've already talked to, Mike Boddicker and Gary Lezak and Greg Gurley. and Mike DePasquale. Before we go to Andy Rogers, I want to play this clip one more time because Nate didn't hear the same thing that I heard. So we need to try to get on the same page. Play ESPN NFL reporter Diana Rossini on trade talks heating up for DeAndre Hopkins. D-Hop.
Now, another name that we've been hearing that is perhaps on the trade block is DeAndre Hopkins. And Christine, I made a lot of phone calls today to different teams that are in the receiver market. Teams like the New England Patriots, the Buffalo Bills, the Baltimore Ravens, the Houston Texans, the Tennessee Titans, all these teams that need a wide receiver. And I was told for right now, they are not interested in DeAndre Hopkins. And it's not his skill set that they're concerned with. It's the fact that he comes with a price, because Hopkins is going to look for a new contract. Now, there is a thought that he'll be looking for a deal like we saw Brandon Cooks get in his trade, where he's taking less money. But as of right now, Christine, there's only one team I know of that is showing interest, that's talking to Arizona about a possible trade, but nothing official just yet.
She said the Pats, the Bills, the Ravens, the Texans, and Titans. I called all these teams that need a receiver, and they said they're not interested. I didn't hear Kansas City. You might have heard it, but I didn't hear it. I didn't hear Chiefs when she went out of her way. The Patriots, the Bills, the Ravens, the Texans, the Titans. And then at the end, she goes, there's only one team that's having discussions. Well, it's none of these teams, so it's not the Patriots, it's not the Bills, it's not the Ravens, it's not the Texans, it's not the Titans. Who is it? You're telling me right now it's not the Chiefs. Okay,
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of teams still left over there.
Wide receiver need.
The Chiefs definitely need a wide receiver, in my opinion. So it could be them that you're talking about. I still
it
want
rules
you to,
those out, but it doesn't rule out that it leaves it, the door open for Kansas
that's
City.
That's true. It leaves the
I
door open.
I don't even know why I'm campaigning for this guy now.
I don't know, but you... You kind
because
of
I think about it, and I think about third down, there's Kelsey, there's D-Hop, there's Kadarius Toney. That's, you know, MBS guy more. First down. Jesus. Let's go to Andy Rogers.
Andy, I don't know, man. I just don't want you to get your head all wrapped around this thing, and then
I'll just move on. If they don't get him, I'll move on to the next guy.
Okay,
all right.
You'll move on to the next fish in the sea.
Yeah. Hello, Andy Rogers. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
I don't know if you know, but this Ohtani he can play baseball pretty well. Something else, this guy.
Yeah, can he? Okay, good to know.
So you tweeted that you were waiting to speak with Jordan Lyles. And everyone else was just locked in to this game and this final at bat, and it's like it was like a storybook, the WBC championship, a one run game in the ninth inning, and you've got Ohtani on the mound against Mike Trout, and I mean to tell you, he just blew him away. It looked like Mike Trout was overmatched. It looked like a minor leaguer against a Cy Young Award winner. It was incredible. And even Trout afterwards, it looked like he'd seen a ghost. So were you watching around people when that strikeout happened?
Yep, I was. We actually were called down. You know, in spring training, we talk to players in-game after they exit the game if we need them. So we were called down to the clubhouse right as the top of the ninth started, and I'm like, oh, no, I really wanted to watch this. So me and Josh Vernier, we sprinted down to the clubhouse and hoped that it was on. In the clubhouse, and they have a bunch of TVs up, so we watched, and Jordan was locked in. He was like, yeah, well, let's wait till the end of this. And there were a couple other guys who weren't playing that day who were just around the clubhouse with the clubbies and whatnot. So we all watched it. It was really cool. Like, it was a cool moment for me to not only watch that moment, but also hear these other major leaguers like Salvi and, you know, Franmil Reyes. They're like, wow, you know, that's incredible. Like, 102 miles an hour. You know, Shohei, I think, missed on the outside with a 100-mile-an-hour cutter. Like, that's not fair. And it was a cool moment just to kind of encapsulate how great, you know, we're witnessing greatness right now with Shohei Ohtani, and you hear it from the best players in the world around you, and I just thought that was a really cool moment. In the grand scheme of things, the WBC has just been such an awesome experience.
So, you know, Jordan Lyles, Franmil Reyes, Salvi, they're like everyone else. They're just, wow, look at that pitch. Look at this guy. They're as amazed as we all are because, like I said, that's against, I mean, Mike Trout is the best player of his generation, and it looked like he had no chance up there against Ohtani. It's amazing to me that, like you said, other Major League Baseball players are that impressed just the way any of us were watching that last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And he, you know, he threw like I don't know how many fastballs in a row, and then he like dropped in that slider. And that's what got Mike Trout swinging. And I think it was just, I think Franmil Reyes was the one who just was like laughing, like you have no chance against that. It's just so interesting to hear these guys who are well established in the league who do this every day, and to hear them kind of talk about how amazing it is to watch what we're watching right now really puts into perspective for you.
Well, Salvi's been on the biggest stage, both in international baseball and with the Major League Baseball. I haven't really said this on the air yet, Andy, but I went to the W Baseball Classic game between.
He's been sitting on that egg. He didn't let it hatch until now. Thankfully.
Steven's really tired of me talking about it. But I got to go to the game USA versus Venezuela, and I got to see Salvi get a game tying double. And by the way, when he got up to the plate, there was a huge Venezuelan crowd there in Miami. And they were chanting MVP at Salvi when he got to play. You could tell he's as big of a fan favorite with the Venezuelan fans as he is with Royals fans. Did you get a chance just to kind of talk to him about what his experience was like playing in this event compared to, I mean, he's pretty much done everything you can do in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. We chatted yesterday. It was his first day back in camp. I'm pretty sure he'll be in the lineup either today or tomorrow back to catch the action. But we talked yesterday, and he just you know, there's not many times where I ask a question and Salvi is kind of at a loss for words. And when I asked him really what it meant to play for Venezuela in this tournament, he just kind of paused for a second and looked down, and you can tell it was emotional. This means a lot to these guys, and to have that crowd behind him in Miami where, you know, he lives now, where his family is, it's just a special feeling. And you know, he compared it to the game seven of the World Series, which obviously he's played in, and he said it's not even close, man. These games matter so much. You know, he loves the Royals. He loves this organization. He wants to be a Royal for life. But playing with your country splashed across your chest and people who are like you in the crowd cheering for you, I mean, that is just a different feeling. And I think you saw it, you know, whatever team it was, these players, you can't tell them that this is a meaningless tournament. This matters a lot for them, and I think it's just the coolest thing that baseball could have experienced this season.
I couldn't agree more, and I had such a great time at the game. It just was it was awesome. But I remember, I don't know what year the WBC started, but I was in, at that time in my career, I was doing kind of what you are in terms of just being, I was in spring training for the entire month, and it was not well received by a lot of people in Major League Baseball at that time. It's kind of, what are we doing? We're gonna play this thing that nobody's asked for, and it's like a meaningless. And you still do hear some people saying things like that, but it sure seems like this year's competition is kind of quieting that a little bit. One of the things that Steven and I talked about is that makes it so cool. I think all these other countries, guys that played for Venezuela, guys that played for the Dominican Republic or Japan, it clearly has meant something great to them, but maybe to the American players it hasn't been as big of a deal. But you could see these great players like Trey Turner and Mike Trout really embracing it and loving it as much as the guys on the other teams. The one thing we're missing is some of those frontline starting pitchers on the American side. Do you think that's just something that doesn't work? Like, if a guy's making $100 million as a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, he's just never going to risk it? Or is there a chance that with his attention that this one got, and when guys like Mike Trout and Salvi go back to their teams and talk about how great it was, could we get some of those guys actually involved the next time around, or is that far-fetched?
Well, I really hope so. You know, I think
Clayton Kershaw was a part of it, and then he pulled out because he wanted to focus on spring training. You know, I understand it from both sides, but I really hope that this tournament can get some starters, you know, frontline starters wanting to go, because that's what the U.S. was, you know, really missing, I think, this tournament, this time around. They also obviously had a vaunted lineup, but, you know, you kind of wish you had some of those big-name starting pitchers, and so I really hope that it changes. I think we saw a shift with the hitters this year, like you said, you know, when Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, like, really put on the full-court press as far as recruiting. They pegged Mike Trout as captain, and then he put on the full-court press, and so they got all these guys from around the league. You hope that next time around some of the pitchers will do the same and talk about how great of an experience it was.
Okay, so from a Royals perspective, I saw David Leskie tweet this out, and I thought, an interesting point and a good question to ask you. How do you think the Royals feel about Bobby Witt Jr. only getting a couple of plate appearances and Brady Singer only pitching a couple of innings? Do they look at it as, you know, this is a great experience, it's good to have them in a postseason style environment, or do they look at it in a more negative way, like, they, you know, Brady Singer's not getting the work necessary to build himself up to get ready for the regular season, and Bobby Witt Jr. wasn't getting plate appearances? How do you think they view that?
I addressed this a little bit in my story from yesterday down at the bottom, because I did talk to a few people about it yesterday. I think they're a little bit more concerned about Brady than they are Bobby. Bobby can, they're confident he can get his timing back pretty quickly, and this experience for him was by far and away, like, all about being around those all-stars and MVPs, like, learning from them, sitting in the dugout with them and talking with them so he can come back and kind of be one of those leaders here in Kansas City. But as far as Brady goes, like, just in the next week or so, he'll probably start on Thursday when he gets back into camp, but that's only going to be, you know, three innings. And then he'll probably get another start next week in Texas, and that'll be four innings. And then, you know, by the time the regular season starts, that's maybe up to five. Like, that's probably not as much as you'd like him to be at. And that's, granted, everything goes perfectly. So, yeah, I think there's a little bit of concern there, and the Royals might have to construct their bullpen differently based on how built up Brady is, because, you know, he'll be in the rotation. Do they have to have an extra long guy to put behind him? You don't know that. So I think those decisions will come, in the coming days as Brady gets back into camp, tells the Royals how he feels, starts throwing again. The U.S. didn't use him as much as maybe the Royals thought. He only got in one game and threw two innings. Thought maybe he could get in yesterday, but the way that game was shaping out, they were going to throw their big relievers back there at the back end of the bullpen.
We're visiting with Annie Rogers, who's been embedded with the Kansas City Royals for all of spring training, and you wrote a piece here just a couple days ago about three key roster battles, and you were just talking now about the rotation. So if Singer takes a spot, then that what leaves two final spots, I believe you wrote about. How up for grabs are those last two spots as we are almost a week away from opening day?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've kind of gone under the assumption this spring that Daniel Lynch kind of had that fourth spot. He could have lost it, but he appeared to take that fourth spot, and then Brad Keller emerged as the next, you know, the fifth starter based on how he started his spring. He's struggled a little bit in these past couple starts here, but I think the Royals are still encouraged by what he's shown this spring. So I would say those two are the front runners. I do think the emergence of Chris Bubich and his slider might make things interesting as we kind of get down to the final days here. Chris was delayed early in camp with some shoulder soreness. They were just being cautious. He won't be as built up as some of those other guys, but so that's why I kind of thought maybe they'll put him, you know, in the bullpen or maybe in AAA to continue to build up. But I think that conversation might be changing. It's certainly a conversation they're having over these next couple of days, and it's really interesting because I kind of, you know, thought these last two spots were, you know, pretty much on it for a debate with Lynch and Keller, and I think the Royals are debating it a little bit more now at the end of spring, so it'll be interesting how they go about that in the next couple of days.
Hey, before we let you go, what about the rest of the roster? How many spots are actually still up for grabs in this final week?
I think you're looking at the last couple spots on the roster, both bench, the bench players and the bullpen. I wrote about how the bullpen is probably the most interesting competition, I think, because you could go a lot of different ways. So these last couple of days really mean something here in the Cactus League, and the Royals are having lots of conversations about, you know, what they'd prefer in the bullpen to start the year, under the assumption that, you know, they're going to use their entire roster. So the guys who go to AAA to start the season, we're going to see them at some point in Kansas City, no doubt about it. That's what Cotraro wants to do. That's what he thinks works. So I think, you know, they're really happy about their depth right now, and that makes the conversations really good, heading into the regular season.
Andy, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That's Andy Rogers from MLB.com, live from spring training. Back after this on WHB.
Happy cows. That's what they have at Green Grass Cattle Company. You can go to their website, greengrasscattleco.com, and see the pictures of the lush rolling hills where the cattle just graze and have this wonderful life under the custody of Tim Hare. I don't know what the right word is. I'm not a wordsmith, all right? I'm a meatsmith. If you'd like to get meat bundles from Greengrass Cattle Company, just go to their website, greengrasscattleco.com. Look, they are pasture-raised. If you like to know where your food comes from and that your food sources are responsibly maintained and taken care of, and that you're getting the best nutrients possible, Greengrass Cattle Co. is the place where you should get all of your beef. And I'm talking KC strips, ribeyes, tenderloins, beef summer sausages, dry-aged ground beef, the tri-tips. Whatever you want, you can get at Greengrass Cattle Co. It's a great gift, too, by the way. They'll ship it right to your door or to your buddy's house if you want to. I've sent some beef over to Greg Gurley's house, by the way. He really liked it. You know Greg, he likes his red meat. So do I. GreengrassCattleCo.com, that's the place to go. You can get all of the information right there at the website. You can also stop in and see them in Weston as well. Green Grass Cattle Company, online at GreengrassCattleCo.com.
To Mike Boddicker and Gary Lezak and Greg Gurley and Mike DePasquale and Andy Rogers for joining us on the show. Tomorrow we'll have another four-pack of tickets to give away to the Kansas City Comets. And we'll have another show planned for you, and it'll be Sweet 16 Day for Kansas State. Oh, boy is right. Everybody have a great day listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Goodbye.
Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.